Okay, good to welcome everybody. I hope the sound is okay. Welcome to the Motzoi Shabbos Shir for Parshas B'Shalach. I'm going to put on the screen the Makor so people can see if you follow them. Hopefully this will work. Okay. This morning's learning Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah records as the Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, the Egyptian army is in hot pursuit, and they become frightened. And the Pasuk tells us in Perek Yedalad, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the source of our Moshe, La'am Al Tiro, don't be frightened, this Yatzvu, or Uas Yishua Hashem, you know, stand aside and watch the salvation that Hashem will provide. Asher Yasa Lachem Hayom, Ki Asher Re'isem Es Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo So Sifu Lirosom Od Ad Olam. Because as you see the Egyptians today, you will never see them like this ever again. In other words, they're going to be destroyed. Now, Pipashtos, this pasuk is coming as a form of encouragement. It's a haftocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling them that they don't have to worry, you know, about you know, the impending Egyptian army behind them and so on. He's going to take care of everything, and everything's going to be good. As I say, it's a form of haftocha. That's what Rashi says in the second source. There in Perek Yedal, the Shmos pasuk Gimel, Ki Asher Yisem Es Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Masher Yisem Osom Eino El Hayom. That which you see them now, that's for now. But Hayom who show you some of those will see for, you'll never see them like this ever again. So basically, this is understood more or less to be a haftacha. However, as we'll see in a moment, Chazal understood this was more than just a promise and more than just a few words of encouragement, but actually, it's a directive not to see or to look at the Egyptians or see them in that land ever again. So that's why I entitled the Shir, May a Jew Ever Live in or Visit Egypt. I'm waiting for there to be, may already be one, I don't know, a Pesach program in Egypt. You know, you can do the advertising, enterprising person can say, you know, come back and see where it all happened. You know, trace your ancestors' footsteps. They left Mitzrayim. You know, if you sign up early, you get frogs guaranteed in your room or whatever, right? So, you know, you can see the pyramids, which the Bnei Yisrael built, although the Bnei Yisrael probably didn't build most of the pyramids. They predated our arrival there. But in any event, someone could have a Pesach program in Egypt, and we can figure out, is this something that's allowed or not? So the Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha, here in our Sedra, in Parsha B'Shalach, Mechilta Rabbi Yishmael, and Masechta Devayihi, Parsha Beis, in source number 3 over here, says the following: There are three places in the Torah where we are enjoined not to ever return to Mitzrayim. One is this pasuk, our pasuk, "Asher Yisem Es Mitzrayim Hayom." Lo so sifu lirosam adolam. As I say, that's understood not only as a haftacha or as words of encouragement, but as a directive: don't look at them, don't see them ever again. That's one of the places. There are a couple of other places. I printed the sources here. If you look in source 4, in Dvarim Parsha Shoftim, Dvarim Parak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tezvav, Som Tosim Alech HaMelech, by the mitzvah to appoint a melech, it says in Pasuk Tezayin, Rak lo yarbe lo susim, not to have more than a certain number of horses, below why, below Yoshiva, Sa'am Mitzvayim, Leman Harbo Sus. Apparently, it was Egypt at that time was a breeding place for horses. So they're afraid that if the king wants too many horses, have to send people back to Egypt to go acquire those horses. And as the Pasuk there, Tezayin, concludes, the end of 4, Vashem Omar Lachem Lo So Sifu Lo Shubba Derech HaZeod. And Hashem told you, you're not going to go back this way ever again. Where did he tell us that? Presumably referring to our Pasuk here in Parsha B'Shalach, in source 2, Shmos Perek Yudalad Pasuk, source 1, Shmos Perek Yudalad Pasuk Yud Gimel. You know, you're not going to go back and see them again. So that's the second place. The third reference is in source 5, again, is all quoted in that Mechilta. The third reference is in Parsha's Kisobo in the Tochacha. Okay, it says at the very end of the Tochaj, Devarim Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Samaches, source 5, Veshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Bariyos, the punishment, you don't observe the mitzvah. So one of the many punishments listed there in the Tochaj is that you'll return to Mitzrayim in boats and so on. But Derech Hashem Marti L'chalo Sosif Od Lirosa, you'll be sent back to the place where I told you you wouldn't see, you're not supposed to see ever again. And so we have these three places, says the Mechilta, where we're warned not to go back to Mitzrayim, not to go back to Egypt. And then the Mechilta goes on, look back in source 3, on the third line of source 3, after quoting these psukim, starting with the Pasuk in our Seder, it says, B'shloshtom chazu shamu, b'shloshtom naflu. Three different times in history, it's up until that point of the Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha is compiled, three different times, B'nai Yisrael, Jewish people, did return to Mitzrayim, and it did not end well. Harishon of Sancheriv, we'll see the psukim, one in the days of Sancheriv, about 150 years before the destruction of the first base of Mitzvah. Hashen is B'nai Yochanim and Kareach. That's the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And it quotes Psukim, Vashlishis Bimei Turginus, as the Medrash concludes. The third time in the days of Turginus. That's understood to be the Roman Emperor Trajan, Turginus, Trajan. What is it going on here in this Medrash? Let's look at the Psukim Source number six, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Hey. I'm sorry, Pasuk Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Beis and Gimel, where the Navi Yeshaya, who lived, you know, before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, Yeshaya said, Hoy Hayard the Mitzrayim Le'ezer, woe, right? Woe unto those who are Jews who are turning to Mitzrayim for help. As Rashi explains in source seven, Yeshaya Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, we get a little Jewish history review here. Hoy al Hoshea. Regarding Hoshea, not the Navi Hoshea, but Hoshea ben Ela, one of the Malchei Yisrael, by Seres Hashlot, the 10 northern kingdoms. We know that after the days of Shlomo Melech, the Jewish kingdom split into two parts, the so-called Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, the so-called Malchus Yehuda, the southern kingdom. There were 10 tribes, Aseres Hashvatim in the north, 2 tribes in the south. So the Aseres Hashvatim, when they were being invaded by the king of Ashur, Melech Ashur, Ashur is Assyria, not to be confused with today's Syria, although similar location. But anyway, so this was the leader of the armies of Assyria was Sancheriv. So the day of Sancheriv, they went to Egypt for help. Right, that's what Rashi and Yeshaya says. Al Hoshev, Aseres Hashvatim, Ayor, the Mitzvahim, Al Ezra. Right, then the Navi Yeshaya laments. Vayivtechu, back there in source 6, Perek Lamed Aleph and Yeshaya Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayivtechu al Rechev, they were relying on chariots and power and horses and everything else. That's Hashem Lodor, Shador Oshu. They didn't, you know, seek out a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They were looking for assistance from elsewhere, not from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Pasuk Beis. That's how the Mitzvot David also says there in source 8, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Hoy, Amar Navi Yeshlis Onen. We have to, you know, it's like, whoa, huh? It means like, whoa unto us. We have to grieve and moan over what happened to Aseres Hashvatim. They went down, Hayardim L'Mitzrayim L'Vakesh Ezom Mul Sancheriv. They wanted to get Egyptian help against Sancheriv, and they got horses, you know, and they put their trust in that. And the low show, as the Mitzvah concludes there at the end of 8, Lo Ponu L'Tarach L'Shal Hashem. They didn't turn to Hashem. And they did not. The second Pasuk, their Pasuk Bey says, Ves Dvar of Lo Hei Seer. So look in Rashi in Source 10, sorry, source 9, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, and Zorba Levi Seer, Asher Omar Veshivcha Mitzrayim Baniyos, Mida Keneged Mida, Shamar Tilecha Lo Sosif Al Lirosa. I told you you're not supposed to go back there. If you go back there, it's only because of a punishment at the end of the Tochacha. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go back to Mitzrayim. And now, Vata Lachta Midaitcha, you're going willingly to go back to Mitzrayim to get horses to fight against Sancheriv. Socha Leilas Bagolas Al Korcha. You're going to end up in Golas. And again, the Aseres Hashvatim are going to be destroyed. We actually see that came true. Look in source number 10. In Melachim Bey is Perik Yud Zayin. Pasuk Dalet Vayimtzo Melech Ashur Boshea. The king of Ashur found, saw that Hoshea, you know, was trying to make a deal with the king of Mitzrayim and so on, and they didn't pay the taxes they were supposed to pay and so on. So Pasuk Hey of Perik Yud Zayin and Melachim Bey is in 10. Vayal Melech Ashur B'chol Ha'aretz Vayal Shomla Yotzal Sholo Shonim. And Pasuk Vav Bishnas Hatshis Hoshea Lochad Melech Ashur Shomron. By Yogel Ashur, by Yashur, and so on, the king of Ashur came and conquered the so-called 10 northern tribes, and that's why we refer to them today as the 10 lost tribes. That's how they got lost. Okay, they were destroyed by the king of Ashur, and this all has to do, at least partly, with the fact they turned to Mitzrayim for help. You look in Yirmiyahu, so that's source number one, that basically the Pasuk is telling us, the Pesukim are telling us that the attempt the days of Sancheriv to go back to Mitzrayim did not end well. Those Jews were destroyed as well. The second pasuk, that's the one story that the Medrash back in source number 3, the Medrash quotes the pasuk, starts with the pasuk Yishayahu Lamed Aleph, and that's the first time, three times, the first time in the days of Sancheriv. The second, it says, based on a pasuk or psukim in Yirmiyahu, Perek Membeis Pasuk Tezayin, that the Medrash quotes, I printed that over here, starting in source 11, Yirmiyahu Anovi, who's later, Yirmiyahu lived at the time of the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. The conquest of the northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, took place about 150 years or so before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. And now we move forward, fast forward 150 years. Yirmiyahu Perek Membeis, Yirmiyahu was alive when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. He wrote Megillas Eicha about that event that we lay on Tisha B'Av, of course. So in source 11, Perek Membeis of Yirmiyahu, Pasuk Yud Gimel, apparently at that time, they also said, we're going to go to Mitzrayim, we're going to escape the wrath of the Babylonians. By the time Ashur was already gone from the scene, now Babel is the enemy, so we're going to escape the Babylonians, we're going to go down to Mitzrayim, okay, live over there, and the Pasuk says, listen here, it's not going to work out for there either. You're going to go to Mitzrayim, And Pasuk Tezayin, Bahaisa Cherub Asher, Tamirei Mena, Shom Tasig Eshem Eretz Yisrael, the very sword of the Babylonians, the Babylonian army that you're trying to escape from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, is going to catch up to you there also, and so the other tragedies, and you're going to have Shom Tamusu, the Pasuk concludes, you'll perish there as well. The Malbim makes his comment, you know, we all perk my base Pasuk Tezvah, right? That you were at Imatem Som Tasig Eshem Eretz Yisrael, you want to go to Mitzrayim, you're not supposed to do that. Shalzeh, he's Bira Miyikud, we're warned not to go back to Mitzrayim. And again, we saw three different times the Torah talks about our not going back to Mitzrayim. And that's what the Malbim says that Novi Yirmiyahu is referring to here. Parenthetically, he makes a comment, which we'll come back to, but the Malbim makes a comment there in Yirmiyahu, so that's why I printed it in 12. Yeshor Sha'isu Rak B'derech Hazeh, merits of Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Some say that the limitations on that is to go to Mitzrayim. And as a svara, that you're not allowed to go there for living. We're allowed to go for the business. And he refers to another one of his works called the Artzos Achaim. The Artzos Achaim is a commentary on Orach Shulchan Orach Haim, written by the Malbim. Not as well known as a commentary on the Nach, but an important work. It's not done that much. I forgot. I think it goes to Hilchos Tfilin. It's available. I have it here at home. Anyway, he refers to what he talks about there. But anyway, in any event, the problem is, says the Malbim, you're going to get caught up with the very same thing as Pasuk Tazayin. Oysa Achev Hashem Yirei Mimena. You're choosing to go live in Eretz Mitzrayim. Shom Tasig Eschem, the last line of 12, you'll catch up to there too. You think you'll escape Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians by leaving Eretz Yisrael, they'll catch up to you in Mitzrayim as well. And indeed, if we look in Melachim Beis Perek Chof Hey 13, the very end of Melachim Beis, very end of the Nevi'im Rishonim, that's what happened. Okay, and some familiar events here. It says, V'haman Nisho Beretz Yehuda. Nebuchadnezzar left some Jews, didn't exile everybody to Babel after they destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash. And Vayifkod Aleim at the end of Pasuk Chav Beis, the first line of 13. Vayifkod Aleim is Gedal Yahu ben Achikam and Shofar. He appointed a Jewish ruler, a Jewish governor, not a king anymore, because he conquered the kings, but he left the Jewish governor. That's the person named Gedal Yahu, as in Tzom Gedal Yahu, right? We fast because of what's described in these coming psukim. Okay, there are certain people who resented Gedaliah. We won't go into details of them now, but one of them is the person mentioned back in the Mechilta, in our Parsha here, back in Source 3, Yochanan ben Kareach. Okay, he's one of the people who resented Gedaliah. Gedaliah was assassinated. Okay, as the Pasuk says in Chafei over there, the second last Pasuk in 13, Elochim Beis per Chafei, Pasuk Chafei, Vahiba Chodesh Shvi, the seventh month, that's Tishrei, Bo Yishmael, and the son of Ben Elishmael, Zeram Lucha, Vasar Noshi, Mizo, Vayakus Gedaliah. They killed Gedaliah by Amos, and he died. And that's why we have Tzom Gedaliah. Fine. Chava vayochum ukom alami kavah galav sarah nachan vayivom Mitzrayim ki yarim nechaz. They came down to Mitzrayim, but it didn't work there either. As again, Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Dalad, the first couple of psukim, Hadavar shehoya el Yirmiyahu kal Yehuda miyoshim eretz Mitzrayim. Right now, Yirmiyahu spoke to the Jews who had, in Source 14, who had fled to Mitzrayim, and Kamar, Shematzakos, etc. All the raw, all the bad, Atereisim is Kalara, Sherebes, Hayushalayim. You saw everything that happened in Yushalayim, the destruction of the city and so on. Ain Bahem Yoshev, nobody's there anymore. So a few psukim later, Yud Beis, the people who came to Mitzrayim are going to meet the same fate. Okay, Bacherev, Barov, Yamusu, and the same thing is going to happen. Possibly Yugimel, Fakadati, Al Yoshev, at the time, Kashi, Fakadati, Yushalayim. The same thing that happened in Yushalayim is going to happen to the Jews in Mitzrayim. They'll all suffer there. No Jews will survive. They'll all be wiped out there in Mitzrayim as well, except for a couple of Platim, a couple of refugees. Rashi there, it says in Yirmiyahu, the refugees are Yirmiyahu himself and his Talmud Baruch ben Neriah. Anyway, so that also, as the Malbim explains over there, there were different groups. Some wanted to live there. Whatever the details are, again, the Malbim deals with something which we'll deal with shortly. But in any event, the bottom line, nobody's going to survive. And so that's the second time. The first time was in the days of Sanherib. Those Jews who ran away from the 10 northern tribes ran to Mitzrayim. They met, an unfortunate end in Mitzrayim. And the same thing happened to the Jews who fled Eretz Yisrael and went down to Mitzrayim in the days of Nebuchadnezzar by the Churban Abayi Sheni. And the Medrash Mechilta closes there back in Source 3 by quoting this pasuk in Hosea. This is the Navi Hosea, not the king. Hosea Perek Zayin, Sukkim Yudalef Yudbeis, Vayihi Ephraim Ki Yonah. Like a dove, like a bird that escapes one trap and gets caught in another trap. That's how the Radak explains over there in 18. Right? The Jewish people are compared to a dove, Anilkedet Bereshes. They get caught in one trap, they can get out of this trap, they get caught in a different trap. You get the idea. Okay? They thought they'd get away from the trouble in Eretz Yisrael by going down to Mitzrayim, which you're not allowed to do. So therefore, they're going to get caught up too. So that's two of the three things related by the Mechilta. The third is in the Emperor Trajan. So there are no psukim to bank on because the Tanakh was finished, long finished, before the days of the Roman Emperor Trajan. Okay. The same thing I printed in 19, the Psikta Zutus Amedj Lekach Tov here in our Parsha B'Shalach, Perkei Dalet. You know, it says in the same Pusik, it's a reference to three different times the Jews came down to Mitzrayim, in the days of Sancher, the days of Yochan Mekarech. I look at the end there. Vashlishis Targinos Bebayasheni. This is during the second temple period, the time of the Bayasheni. So therefore, there's no Psukim about that. There is, however, a fascinating Gemara in the end of the beginning of the fifth parak of Maseches Sukkot. Yerushalmi and Sukkah. It's in the Bavli tools. We'll see the shortened version. But the Yerushalmi says the following in Sukkah, Perek Hey Halacha Aleph, source number 20. Tana Armi Yudah begin to describe the beauty of a shul that was built in Alexandria. And it says, Kol Shalara, deeply Istabo Shal Alexandria, Lo Ro covered Yisrael Miyamav. In those days, now, okay, the Jews had built a magnificent shul, a famous magnificent shul in Alexandria in Egypt. And the Gemara first begins to describe what it looked like. Deeply established, these colonnades, pillars, come in basilica gedola, it was like a basilica, you know, the ancient type of structures. And it says, and it had the people there, look at the second line of 20, kiflayim, oops, let's get it skirt up too far, kiflayim kiyotzi mitzrayim. It held double the amount of Jews that left Mitzrayim. Now, if we assume that 600,000 people left Mitzrayim, so double that is 1.2 million. That's a pretty big community, okay? And it describes the shul there, the building, and it says, V'shivim katidrol shalzov sham. There were 70 seats made out of gold with mukbos, avonim tobos, umargoyos, filled with beautiful gems and jewels and so on, corresponding to the 70 zakenim. And, you know, how much it cost each thing, and a bima shel eitz in the middle. And this is where, as a side point, this Gemara is famous because it was such a big area. How did people hear when the Chazan made a bracha? How could you answer amen? So some of you are familiar with the fact that they had a flag system to let you know when to answer amen. So that's a big halachic discussion. Can you answer amen to a bracha when you don't hear it? The answer is, as long as you know the bracha is being made. It's had a whole system, beautiful, magnificent structure, and they sat by groups. Okay, different craftsmen sat together so you could network with a whole beautiful arrangement. Okay, and what happened? Umi Hechriva, who destroyed this? Okay, that is Torganus Harosha, the Emperor Trajan, the Roman Emperor Trajan. And here, as Yerushalmi continues in a language similar to our Mechilta that we started with here in our Sedrin Mishalach, it said three times we were warned about not going back to Mitzrayim. And it quotes the story of the days of Sancheriv and the story in the days of Yochan Mekarech. And then, towards the end, what happened in the days of Trajan? Again, they know psukim about it, so we have it here in the Gemara. Towards the end of this source 20, it says that what happened? Bimei Targinos Harosha Nolad Lo Ben B'Tishabov. This Trajan happened to be give birth. His wife had a child on Tishabov. And what were the Jews doing at Tisha B'Av? They were fasting because it was Tisha B'Av. Subsequently, Mesa Bito B'Chanukah. It happened to be that this Trajan had lost a daughter on Chanukah. And what are the Jews doing? Celebrating. Likur Neros, they light candles. So V'Sholcha Ishto, he, Trajan, was back in Rome. So his wife, or some sort of others, whatever, sent a message, Ad Shat Mechabesh is Habarbarim. You're fighting wars with the barbarians or whatever. Come back and destroy the Jews. They're rebelling against you. You give birth to a baby boy, they fast. You lose a daughter, the daughter of your dies, they celebrate, lighting candles and so on. So he came to Rome, from Rome to Alexandria, and it was supposed to be a 10-day trip, and it was only made in 5 days, and he found the Jews studying Torah, and he asked them, what are you learning? The Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo in Atochacha, 21, Perkov Ches, Pasuk Memtes, Yisra Shemalecha Goy Meirochok. Someone will come, Hashem will make him come faster, right? Like an eagle and so on. So he said, oh, that's me. I made a 10-day trip in 5 days. And he slaughtered all the men. Subsequently, slaughtered all the women. He wiped out that entire community. And the Gemara concludes, Ba'osa Shah Nigda Karen Yisrael. The Jewish pride was deeply damaged. Ode Eina Asida Lachsalam Koma Achiova Mendovin. It's not going to come back till the days of Mashiach and so on. So that's the Yerushalmi. I print them. I'm not going to read out to save some time. If you're interested in following up on these sources, the Karban Eda, source 22, you know, gives in all the detail I provided for you, especially the ones, again, that We saw the psukim already about the days of Sancheirim, the days of Yochanan Mekarech, the days of Bais Rishon's destruction and Trajan and so on. See, he works out everything. The Pnei Moshe has a briefer comment. Okay, in any event, what it turns out from there is that we have a third destruction in the days of Trajan when he wiped out the Jewish community of Alexandria. That's the third time that the Jews were punished for returning to Mitzrayim. It's interesting. You look in Source 24, the Mara Haponim. The Mara Haponim is written, I've mentioned in the past, Yerushalmi, the only commentary that we have on the Yerushalmi in its entirety is the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe is a Rashi-style commentary. We have on other Mesichtas, the Korban Eda, on many Mesichtas, but not on everything. The only one that's cover to cover, there's no Korban Eda, for example, in Zeroyim. But Pnei Moshe is on everything. Moshe Margolis, I think was his name. Some say he was a Rebbe of the Vilna Gaon. That's not so clear, but he lived at that time in the early 1700s. Anyway, so he wrote a Rashi-style commentary on Yerushalmi. There's no Rashi on Yerushalmi. He wrote a Rashi-style commentary on Yerushalmi called the Pnei Moshe. Okay? And he also wrote, the same author, wrote a Tosa style commentary called the Mara Ponim. Tosa style commentary with a Kasha, with, from a different Gemara and so on. Anyway, so in the Mara Ponim there in Sukkah, Parak Hei Alach Aleph 24, he raises the question that who not wiped out the Jewish community of Alexandria was Trajan. And he writes, Zuya Girsa Nechona, that's the correct Girsa. Lo kidagaris bibavli. The Gemara I printed in 25, Sukkah in the Bavli in Sukkah, that was Yerushalmi in Sukkah, the Bavli in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, tells a story, a little bit less detail, but tells a story. And there it mentions that the one who destroyed the city was Alexandrus Mokdon, Alexander of Macedonia, better known as Alexander the Great. Okay. And he said, Umisha Boki Bedira Yamishal, no one who knows history, knows that Alexander of Mokdon was not an evil person. He didn't destroy the whole city and so on, and therefore it's a mistake. Okay, if you take a look in the Bavli in Sukkah, Nun Aleph and Beis, source 25, similar to the Yerushalmi's presentation, to first describes the majesty and the glory of that Shul in Alexandria, Behuda Omer, Misha Loroa, Duplustan, Salaxandra, Shomatime, Loroa, Bechvod, and Shul Yisrael. It describes, how it was fashioned, the colonnades like a basilica and beautiful chairs with jewels and everything else, as we mentioned. And it talks about the flag system, so you can answer Amen to the Brachas. And if you look now towards the end, Omer Abaye, okay, Vikulu, Katlinu, Alexandrus, Mokdon. All those Jews were slaughtered by Alexander of Macedonia, Mokdon, Macedonia. His father was Philip of Macedonia, Alexander the Great. Now, the Bavli goes on, my taima ianshu, had this beautiful, magnificent rule. What was the reason they were punished? Says the Gemara, mushum de avria high kralo, so sifon la shuba derech hazeot, because they were in violation of this avera of going back to Mitzrayim, we talked about earlier. They knew Hadaraz, and they went back for that. They went back for that reason. They weren't allowed to, and so he came and destroyed the city. He made a fast trip, and like we mentioned before. So again, you look in 26, I have all the Rashis, but the bottom line is it says that they were punished because of this Avera. But again, the Bavli has the Girsa that it was, why he said it was Alexandrus Mokdon, Alexander the Great, who destroyed the city. Not correct. And that's what the Bar Eponim said, it's a mistake, and the Girsa was really Trajan. It's interesting, you look in 27, the Abarbanel, in his introduction to his commentary, Malachim Aleph, Adoma, he writes, V'chein Targinus HaKesar HaArbosar, Leminyan Kesrei Romi. He was the 14th Caesar, the 14th ruler of Trajan was of the Roman Empire. And he is the one who came to Alexandria, V'harag Ma'ehudim HaShahar, Ha'yusham Kifayim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim. And he destroyed that population of 1.2 million, double the Mitzrayim number of Jews, and so on. And he said, even after that, some Jews were still there. And then he writes, and he thinks that the Girsa problem came in, Ad Shachrechen, a different Caesar, Alexandrus Caesar Romi, who had Caesar Chavdalid. It was a later Roman emperor also called Alexander, not Alexander the Great, the 24th. Trajan was the 14th. He wiped out most of the community. Alexander, this other Alexander, he finished the rest. Okay. But Velo Hayazet Alexander spoke from. It was not Alexander of Macedonia. Ki Haya Melech Yovan. He was a Greek king, as we know, and he was the beginning of the Bayesheni. And he's the one who built the city of Alexandria, named for himself. Okay, so this was a later. Alexander said it was a mistake. He says also in the Gemara, and he quotes the Midrashim and son that it was actually Targinus, however they spelled Trajan in Hebrew, and he's the one who destroyed this community. So in any event, what emerges from all of this brief history lesson, three different tragic ends to Jewish communities that established themselves in Mitzrayim, correspond to three times in the Torah, they were told not to live there. And so it does not seem to be a good idea to go down to Mitzrayim to live there because the communities that did so met an unpleasant end. The Torah Tamima here in our Parsha and Barshalach, Shmos Perkadal, Pasuk Zion, or Ozion, actually Ozion in Torah Tamima, he says that even though, like we said at the beginning of this year, 28, the simple reading of the Pasuk in our Parsha is not really a warning not to go down to Mitzrayim, but it was, as I said, it was a promise, words of encouragement, you know, don't worry, the Egyptians, you're not going to see them again. Nonetheless, you have to assume that it was also some sort of directive because the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, you look back in Source 4, it says, I don't want the king to have too many horses because he'll have to go to the horse breeding area in Mitzrayim. And I said, the end of Pasuk Tezayin in Perek Zayin of Dvarim, Parsha Shoftim, the end of 4, says, Hashem Omar Lachem Lo Sosif Lo Shuba Derech HaZeot. I told you not to go back there. Where did he tell us that? So it must be this Pasuk is also a directive. Okay, so that's what the Torah Tumim says as well. And he brings an interesting halachic point because you know at the end of the Seder or later in the Seder it says Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Mesil Svasayam. They did see the Egyptians again, except they were dead. So if there's a halachic issue, if you took a neder not to see somebody, can you see him? You know, if he's dead, whatever. The Matanot Bihuda is true about it. Anyway, so that's in terms of not going back to Mitzrayim. However, there's an important Yerushalmi in Source number 29, Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin Perek Yud Alach Ches 29. Chayno Omer, the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, Lo Sosif and Lo Shuba Derech HaZeod, Li Yeshiva Einat L'Chozer, but Chozer At L'Schora L'Prakmatcha V'Lichbosh HaZaret. You're not allowed to go back to live there, but you are allowed to go back L'Schora L'Prakmatcha for business purposes. You can go to Mitzrayim to engage in business there, and also to conquer the land, the Karbon Eda there, and Sanhedrin explained Perek Yud Halacha, in his arrangement Halacha Hey, okay, that you can go back, but for business purposes, or to lichbosh es eretz Mitzrayim, it must be melchama Yisrael, either to conquer Mitzrayim because they made a war, or lavor derech sham lichbosh sharatzos, or to cross through there, you know, as part of a military campaign against somebody else. So that's how the Karbon Eda of the Pemosha also explains you're allowed to go back, not to live there, but for business purposes, you are allowed to go back. So that opens the door a little bit. If we're not going back to live there, but rather for business purposes, then there's something to talk about. The Rambam counts this in the mitzvahs, losasem, sefer mitzvahs losasem, memvav, 32, and he gives a reason behind this. We didn't see any reason. What's the matter going back to Mitzrayim? So the Rambam writes in the sefer mitzvahs losasem, memvav, 32, the Rambam writes, a mitzvah memvav, he says, hirano mishkon beretzunam la'olam, kedei shalom nilmat kfirosam. So we shouldn't learn their heresy, v'shalom nelech bedarkem hamagunim etzal haTorah, not to follow their practices which are considered despicable in the eyes of the Torah. And that he quotes the pasuk Lo Sosif Lo Shuba Derech HaZeod, and he says it's mentioned three times, the three different psukim, and he mentions the mechilta that we refer to as well. And even though it's you know it's not really formatted as a Lo Sosif, but it counts as a Lo Sosif, and he says that includes Alexandria. You're not supposed to live there, and he gives you the you know what's considered part of Egypt and so on. And he says Aval Mutar Lelech Baalat Tzad Schora. You can go for business reasons and so on, or to cross to another land. At the very end, and referring to that, Yerushalmi. That's not in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, not only in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but in the Mishnah Torah as well. Halachic statement: Hilchos Melachim Perek Hey Halacha Zayin Umutar 33 Umutar Lishkon B'Chalaretz Chutz Meretz Mitzrayim. A Jew can live anywhere in the world, just not in Mitzrayim. And he gives you what exactly is considered the boundaries of Mitzrayim, from the Mediterranean to here to there. Okay, I call Osulis Yashibo, and he says we're warned about that three different times. Halacha Ches, Mutar Lachzot L'Tzayim L'Schar L'Prakmatcha. You can go back there for business reasons. The Lichbosh Arzos Acheres, ordered that they conquer other lands. Ein Iser Ella, Ein Aser Ella L'Shtakeyashom. You can't put down roots. They can't live there. Okay, so you don't get Malkus and so on, because when you went in, you know, you weren't living there yet. And once you lived there, there was no Maisa. Okay, technical point. Then he writes to the Yeruah Ali, second half of Halacha Ches, there in Parakeh of Hilchos Melachim, second last line of 33, Yeruah Ali, it appears to me, the Rambam says, Shem Kova Sheretz Mitzrayim, Melech Yisrael from Bezdin, if a Jewish king conquered Mitzrayim, you know, with permission of Bezdin, the way a king has to get permission to conquer other lands, then it's Mutter, and it's only usher for individuals to go live there, or to go live there, you know, when it's in the hand of others. That's a reference to a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. We're not supposed to follow the Egyptian practices and so on. That's the Rambam writes. I'm not sure what the people raised, not my question. What do Yeruah Ali? Well, it appears to me that if they go to conquer, that seems to have said that in Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin. You're allowed to go back and conquer it. So at least the way the Korban Eidah learned. Or maybe there's a different girsa. The Sefer HaChinuch in Parsha Shoftim, it's a tough kuf, 34, Shalishkan Beretz and Olam, and I live there forever. And he said, we're not supposed to go back there. And he quotes the psukim, and he says three different times we said it, three different psukim. And he writes in the second paragraph there, Mishar Sheim, it's lo sha'anshim, lofisha anshim, it's time, roi v'chatoim. They're sinners, they're corrupt, they're a base society, and we're supposed to stay away from that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to be influenced by their tumma and their depravity and so on and so forth. And he writes, "Venoeg isu zeh becholz man v'zuchar min hakevus." Men, women, it doesn't make a difference. And if over al zeh bekava di rosh hashem over al lav zeh, somebody who establishes his dwelling there is in violation of this lav, they don't get malchus, a technicality like we mentioned before. And he quotes the Rambam. You know, Chinuch is often based on the Rambam, doesn't quote the Rambam all the time. Here he does. Because Ramzal Shirelo Yehirelo Shim Kovash Melech Yisrael Pibezin Eretz Mitzvam Shem Mutter Yelon Lishkon Bo V'Divrei Pi Chacham Chayin. And I agree with him. He's right. Okay. Now, as a side point, this business, it's interesting because where do you see that you can go for business reasons? That's what Yerushalmi said. But it's, if you look in the Pasuk in Shoftim, it says you're not allowed to have too many horses. Rashi explains over there, 35. Parsha Shoft, Varm, Perkid Zion, Pusik Tazayan, Lo Yarbelo Susim, Elekade Markovta, just what he needs. Shalo Yoshiva Esal Mitzrayim, Shal Susim Boy Misham. Again, in those days, horse breeding, I guess, took place in Mitzrayim. They can't bring the nation there. So Ramban asks, wait a minute, but that's business. Right? The Ramban there in Shoftim, Perkid Zion, Pusik Tazayan, 36 says 1 second. Okay, I don't understand. Huk Shali Bazan, a second line. Like Yom Rishalmi, the end of Sanhedrin, Paragyud, when we said it, you can go for business. So if you're going for horses, what's the problem? Okay, well, you said the king shouldn't have too many horses because I have to send people to go buy a horse in Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to do that. What do you mean? I thought for business reasons you are allowed to. That's, you know, that's business reason. All right, so the Ramban gives the Teretz, you know, he says that it's maybe it means that they can't have so many horses. Maybe you can get them from somewhere else. Or you know, not to, it's a problem, not so much getting the horses, but relying on them and so on. And the king shouldn't do it because that'll inspire people to not rely so much on a Kaddish Baruch Hu and so on. That's what he says. The Mizrahi, Rebbe Mizrahi in his commentary on Rashi also quotes on Ban's Kasha. Okay, what's the problem going to get horses? You know, that's business, that's allowed. So he also says, it seems to him that the problem is, Ein Zokushi says, "Shari Mashahuta Lischora, Eno Ela Derech Haroi Kimin Agasochren." It's not a problem to do business. We don't stay there. You stay there for a few days. You do business. You come home. Avo Sheis Yashvu Shom. Okay, if people they're going to say, "Oh, you know, I got them in the horse business," they'll take up residence there and they'll get the corner of the market. And they'll end up living there because they know the king's going to do business with them. To get horses, that's what's not allowed. And the Maharal Prague and the Gur Arya, that's a super commentary on Rashi, there in Dvarim, Perkei Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Source 38, also raises the Ramban's question. And he says also that, it has to be that, it must mean that they'll, not for business, only temporary business, and it's only there's no other choice, and so on. Okay, so different approaches to how to deal with that Pasuk. He doesn't like the Mizrahi's approach. But anyway, he's saying that people, you know, become dependent on Mitzrayim. Okay, so bottom line from all of this is that other than for business reasons, it's also to remain living in Mitzrayim. And the Rambam mentions that both in the Sefer Mitzvahs and in the Mishnah Torah. The elephant in the room, at least when you're talking about the Rambam, is, 1 second, didn't the Rambam live in Mitzrayim himself? I'm sure many of you were thinking of that. People are like, wait a minute, the Rambam himself lived in Mitzrayim. So here he is, formulates an Isser, and it's in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Los Amen, Bob, it's in Perek, Hey of Hilchus Malachim, Halacha, Sayin, Ches, you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. But the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim. Okay, and what's going on? So the very fascinating comment, look at Source 39, Sefer Kaftor of Aferach, 39. Kaftor of Aferach is a Sefer written by a Rishon, the time of Rishon, in the 1200s, so not long after the Rambam. Okay, a century or so after the Rambam. Kaftor Farag's away from Shtori Haparchi, where he presents a lot of laws relating to Eretz Yisrael. You know, so in Source 39, he writes, for Omar Ani, Shayom Bavanosin, look at this, Nimtza Kama Yisurim for some of Ein Rov, some of Ale, and there are many areas that people are not careful about. Okay, and then they think that it's okay just because they do it. All right, among the things that he lists there, look at the second line of 39, Kain Hadar Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shover Shlosh 11, a Jew who lives in Mitzrayim, violates three different tisurim, or three different psukim that we mentioned before. And now listen to this. The Shamati b'Mitzrayim, the Pir of Shmuel Zal, Echad mibnei Banav Shal Rambam Zal, I heard from a certain Rav Shmuel, who was one of the, I don't know, literally grandson, a great grandson, whatever it was, of the Rambam, sent to the Rambam. When the Rambam, when he would sign his name on a letter, he put his name, he would put, and the Rambam knew he was in violation of these dinim, and he would apparently, according to this report, would sign his name, I am Rav Moshe ben Maimon, right, who violates daily three isurim by living here in Mitzrayim. Wow, that's what the Rambam said. He was aware of it. Okay, now the Kafta Rafar goes on to say, Amartilo, I told this grandson of the Rambam, Amartilo, derech chatzi nechoma, maybe the Rambam had no choice. He was Charehaya Rofe Lamelech Mitzrayim. He was the chief physician, the doctor of the Sultan in the king's court. So he can't just up and leave. Okay, he was bound to be there, no choice. And he brings a riot, as a Gemara in Baba Kama, I printed in Source 40, of Pei Gimel Alaf in Baba Kama. The Kafta Rafar says, you know, there's a certain style of dress and style of haircut that we don't allow. Source 40, Baba Kama, Pei Gimel Alaf. Katanya, Mesaper, Kumi, Harezim, Dark Amori. Cuts the hair in a certain way, that's considered Dark Amori, like the Goyish practice, you're not allowed to do it. But of Tumus Beruvain, a certain Jew, Hetiro Lesaper Kumi. They allowed him to do this, Bipeshu, Korov Lamalchus. He had to deal with the kings and so on. And Shobes in the house of Rabban Gamliel, they had to be familiar with Greek culture also because they had to interact with the king. So therefore, these Yisurim didn't apply. That's what the Rambam Rabbeinu Zoreh.
But the Rambam himself says, though, the Rambam himself says that it's only if he intends to live there forever. And we know Rambam did
he
not.
He lived there a long time. Okay, maybe. Yeah. But it's a little strange. I have to give full disclosure. You know, the later, many, many people feel that this report, not that the Kaftor Ferch made it up, but again, many, many manuscripts of the Rambam have been found, and none of them have that comment in it. Okay, many letters. Okay, then maybe sometimes wrote it, sometimes didn't. Kaftor Ferch, again, didn't live that long after the Rambam. He knew the Rambam's descendants. But now there's a big question, whether this report is accurate or not. But Echonami, we'll see. Okay, but that's what the Gemara said. Maybe he had special permission. The Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Gimel 41 says, Yisrael Sharkov Malchus Mitzrach Leishir V'Malchem. So he has to dress like them and cut his hair like them. And Shulchan Aruch also, and some Kufay and Ches of Yeridea, Siv Beis, Mishu Karv, Lamachus, Tarak, Lubos, Malshem, Lidamus, Lamutar, Karv, Mutar. So maybe the Rambam had no choice but to stay there for as long as he did. But again, I'd like to show you just a survey of some of the Rishonim who give other Terutzim, because it's not just the Rambam. There were, over the centuries, many Jews who lived there, including Gedolei Torah, including others down to modern times. Okay, and when I say all in violation, how do we understand that? So in the Sefer Yerayim, Rabbi Elazar Emitz, one of the Balei Tosfos, his Sefer Mitzvah, Simon Shin Tes, the old, the first Shin Gimel, okay, Tziva HaBorei, Shalom Yoshu, counts as one of the Mitzvahs, Tziva HaBorei, Shalom Yoshu, Yisrael Mitzrayim, they shouldn't go back, and he quotes the Psukim and so on, but he mentions the following possibility. Where are we not allowed to go back to? Who are we not allowed to interact with? Mitzrayim and the Mitzrayim of those days, okay, or similar to Mitzrayim of those days. He refers to the following. He says basically that the Egyptian that he's writing, the, you know, in the time of the Balei Tosfos, you know, 1,000 years ago, but it was already true then too. In those days, they weren't Mitzrayim or Mitzrayim like in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was different people, different population altogether. And this is since the days of Sancheriv, okay. Again, some quick background. When Sancheriv conquered the 10 northern tribes, his policy, as was the policy in ancient times, if a king or an emperor conquered one area, so he conquered a second area, and a third area, a fourth area, etc., so he would transplant the population from one place to another, move people around, okay? To move the people they conquered from land A to land B, the people land B to land C, but move everybody around. What this does was, number one, you know, encourages people to just intermingle. And again, that worked. The 10 lost tribes, that's how they got lost. I mean, I was a little kid. Now, when they got lost, when they went for a walk one day and couldn't find their way home, how did the 10 lost tribes get lost? That's how they got lost. Okay, they were taken to, and they quickly kind of intermingled with other people. That was the Sancheriv's policy. And we find in other cases in ancient civilizations also. So the expression is that Bo Sancheriv will bilbel as kol ha'olam. He mixed everybody up. They're no more. That's why they're no more today. Ammoni and Moavi and Canaanim and all these don't exist today. Because again, there are people who I'm sure if we traced all the DNA and all the way back, who are indeed today probably biological descendants of Ammon and Moab and Edom and these other nations, but we don't know who they are today. They've been, you know, everyone was intermingled since the days of Sancheriv. Okay. And by the way, it also helps, you know, put down rebellion. If you're living in a land you don't really know. You know, they say in American history, one of the reasons the colonists were able to defeat the British Empire, because, you know, it's different when you're fighting for your own farm, your own house, and you're fighting thousands of miles away. You know, and number two, you don't know the area, you don't know the hiding places, you don't know the ambush places. Anyway, so that's what Sanherib did. So there is a pasuk, that's what the Aram talks about, based on a Tosef and a Gemara. Mishnah actually, and a Gemara too. Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, Parakov Gimel, Svarim Parakov Gimel 44, Lo Sasai Vodim Kechichol Asai Mitzvah Geri Simartso, Bodim Hashem Vodim Dor Shlishi, Yovalem Mikal Hashem. If an Egyptian converts, so he can convert, but he can't marry into the Jewish family until the third generation. The third generation can. He can marry the convert, others, but he can't marry regular Jew. I won't go into the details right now, but the Uraim quotes a Toseftin Kedushin Perak Hey Halacha Vov. So Mitzri, Shenosa Mitzris, Adomi, Shenosa Adomi, Dor Rishon, Vesheni, also, but Shlishi is Mutter. And then the Gemara tells a story, like Binyamin Ger Mitzri, Binyamin Ger Mitzri, Hailo Chavmi, Tamir Kiva, and he says, I'm a Ger Mitzri, look at 45, the Toseftin Kedushin, I'm a Ger Mitzri, Menososi, Ani Isha Gioris Mitzri, I married a convert, a Mitzri convert, and Vahareni Holech Lasi Isha Lebni Bas Gioris Mitzri, I'm going to have my son also marry a Gioris Mitzri, Kdesha Ben Bini, the third generation, Mutalava Bakal, he'll be allowed to marry any Jew. Shenemar, this pasuk dor shlishi yovalem b'kal Hashem. So Amar Rabbi Kiva bin Yamin Ta'isa halacha mishaola sancherib u'bilbos kol ha'omos lo amonim u'avimim koman v'lo mitzvah. These nations don't exist anymore. Okay, so you can marry and so on. And it doesn't matter. It's also similar, a Mishnah in Yadayim about a ger amoni. Mishnah Maseches Yadayim. It's one of the Maseches in Seder Taras. Perek Dalad Mishnah Dalad 46, but the Gemara quotes this. Bo Bayom Yehuda Bo Yehuda Geramoni Avon of Vishamedrish. He said, "Can I marry into a Jew?" Rabbi Gamliel said, "No," and Rabbi Yeshua said, "Yes," because again the same expression, the third line there. Okvar Ola Sancher Melach Ashur Bilbel is called Umos. So there's some discussion. It's also Toseftin Yadayim Perek Beis Halacha Chesin 47. So that's what the Urayim suggests back when he talks about this issue. In source of 44, the Urayim suggests that that's what's going on here too. The whole Isser perhaps doesn't apply anymore today because we don't have any more. It's not Mitzrayim, the land, but it's interfacing with those people. I'm sorry, 43. With those people that don't exist anymore. And that's what the Urayim says. Maybe that's what that's what's going on here. And on the other hand, with the one opinion we have to note, Rabbi Yeshua and others say it's different. Maybe Mitzrayim is different. That's what the Tosefta quotes. Mitzrayim may be different because they were destroyed, but they were reinstated. The pasuk in Yechezkel, Parakhov Tes, we read that a couple of weeks ago, is the Haftar of Parshas Va'era. Parakhov Tes, pasuk in Gimel, Kol Mar Shema, Kim Miketz, Arboim Shana, Akabetes Mitzrayim, in Amam Asher Nafotz Shama. I'll bring the Egyptians back, and they won't be as powerful a nation as they once were, but I'll bring them back. In any event, that's a question. So Mitzrayim maybe is different. The Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Yisroel be a Perikid Beis Halacha Chafei 49. The Rambam Paskins Mishaala Sancher Melech Asher Bilbel Kala Umos the Irvin Zebozev the Higlo Osam Koman the Eluk. He writes the Elu Hamitzim Sheberetz Mitzrayim Atah. The Egyptians were now in Mitzrayim. Anoshim Acherim Hain, the different people. The Chayin Hadomim Shebistei Adom Hov and his Arbu. All these people that are generally usher to marry into the Jewish people until several generations later. It doesn't apply anymore. Okay, because they're all mixed up. We don't know who they are anymore. And therefore, you can mutar and love of a call me on. That's the Rambam Paskins over there. So, even though he doesn't address that issue, one could argue that's what the Urayim proposes in Simon Shin Tes back in 43. That maybe that's a riot, so to speak, that a whole Isser doesn't apply anymore nowadays after today's Sancher. The only problem with that is, the Urayim himself says at the end, he says, well, the problem is, so what about that Gemara that Alexandria was destroyed? You know, because they violated the Isser, the Bavli says in Sukkot Nun Aleph and Beis, we had before, it says they were destroyed because they violated the Isser. By the days of Alexandria, okay, by the days of that community, it was long after Sancheriv, okay, long after Sancheriv, then he mentioned the story with Daniel, also went to Mitzrayim. So, that's an interesting question. So therefore, he says, the Urayim says, that answer probably won't work so well, to say it's not the same Egyptians anymore. He's not so comfortable with that, okay, and if you look in the it's a smug. Sefer Mitzvot Gadol Lavin Reish Chav Zion 50. He also mentions you can go for business and so on. He writes in the second line, the Yesh Tema Al Kama Kilos Hashoklim Sham. The Gamar Ben Moshe Ben Maimon Halachla Sham Lagor. Right? He also asks against the Rambam and so on. So he says the Shema Taimo Yishum Shalal Sancher BeBilba Is Kol Olam. And maybe Mitzrayim. It's a question whether it applied to Mitzrayim or not. But at the end, he prefers the Urayim's final teretz, and he says the Isser doesn't apply for a different reason. You know what the different reason is? The only Isser is to go from Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim. If you look back in the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, it says, Yudzayin of Dvarim, Pasuk Tezayin, Lo Yoshev is on Mitzrayim, in the Kisavo, Perchavches, Pasuk Samaches 5, Baderech Hashem Marti Lecha. Okay, the Isser is to go back the very same way that you came from Eretz Yisrael. You went from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to come back. The Rambam came from Spain. Okay, and others came from other places. Danieli mentioned came from Babel. That's a different story. So that's what they suggest. And maybe the only issue is to come from Eretz. Matter of fact, there's a sefer, Yosef Shol Nathanson, we'll see one of his tshuvas shortly, but he has a sefer in Chumash called Divrei Shol. So the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, people remember, the Torah lists off all the 42 stops that they made from Mitzrayim until they came to Arvos Moab. Now we read that, Matas Masi often together, Vayisum it is, same trouble used, many people use the same trouble used for the Shira, right? That they traveled from here, they went to there, they traveled there, went to here. 42 stations, the Membeis Masos. So the Divrei shows, what does the Torah have to give us at each place? So he wants to suggest maybe, because the Isser to go back to Mitzrayim is Dafka to go back this route. That's a fantastic Kiddush, not just from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, but the only Isser to go back Mamish, tracing the exact same route. That's what's not allowed. Okay, but if you don't go that far, the Smag likes the answer, the Urayim. The Rabbeinu Bachya gives a different answer. Rabbeinu Bachya there in Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Tazayin, Tazayin of Devarim, 51. He says, Zu Mitzul Shah. This was not a Mitzul L'doros. This won't work with the Rambam. But the Rabbeinu Bachya suggests the whole Mitzul is only in that generation. Shol Yilmedu Yisrael Mimaseim, like the Pasuk in Achrei Moz, Perek Yudches Pasuk Gimel, Kamei Seretz Yisrael. It was just at that time, okay. But he says, many Jews lived there, and there would have been a mitzvah doros. Jews wouldn't have gone there, and so on. And certainly Chachamim would have objected to it, and therefore it was only a mitzvah for that time. It's not one of the Tariq mitzvahs. At that time, those Egyptians, at that time, but it's not a mitzvah doros. He does acknowledge at the end, some say there's a mitzvah doros, and then we come back to the Bederech Hazeh answer, but that's the Arayim. The Ritva, in his Chidushim to Yuma Lamed Chesem and Aleph 52, the Ritva writes, Alexander Shal Mitzrayim, he writes, Pirz to Afal Gav, that Simon Lo, so Simon Lo, Shubba Derech Hazeh Od, he says, he gives three answers, because he says, Tamiya Milsa, Hamas Samchua Olam Lo Gurbis Manas Eben Mitzrayim. In his time, also Jews live in Mitzrayim. Kigon Rambam Zalve Kama Gedolam Achirim. So Yesh Omrim Shalson Aras Kvar in this Balbalu Benechrabu. Right? He says that some say it was not the same Mitzrayim anymore. That answer. Rabbi Elazar admits the Reim said because of Derech Hazeh. Okay. But Nochan Yosef, the answer I like best is the Ritual is She'ein HaIsa. Different answer. Totally. She'ein HaIsa Hu Elabizman She Yisrael Shruin Alad Mosam. That's only when the Jewish people live with their own homeland in Eretz Yisrael. Now that we're in exile all over the world anyway, so we're in Chutzot, what's the difference whether you're in Mitzrayim or you're in New Jersey? Okay, it's Golas. It's wherever the Golas is. It's the whole issue is only when we have, okay, you have to wonder what he'd say today, but not my problem right now. The point is that according to this Kedush Reith Voice, that's the answer. The issue is only when you have a Jewish homeland, you don't pick up and leave and go to Mitzrayim. Okay, but other than that, the mitzvah doesn't apply. That's his approach. And again, other Rishonim that goes, Maimon is on the Rambam there in Perek Hay of Hilchos Malachim Malach Zayin Oz Beis. He writes Yesh Tema Al Kehilos Hashoklim Shom Vegam Rabbeinu Achaber Atzmalach Logur Shom. Okay, and he says he doesn't like the answer of the Bilbo, you know, that the Misancher mix everything up because then they would have trouble with that Gemara and Sukkah that they were punished. So he also likes the Reim's answer that he can't go back on that particular Derech. That's where you're not allowed to go. Okay, just mentioned the Tur in Eben Ezer, Simon Dalad 54, talking about who Jews can't marry. He says that that today, perhaps after Sancheriv, you can assume that any Goy maybe shouldn't be able to marry any convert because maybe he did come from that, but the odds are he didn't because there are only seven, you know, only a handful of nations where you have this Isser, and you know they're all together 70 nations according to Halachos. So the odds are called the Parsh Marul Parsh. The odds are one and whatever, and he's not from those nations and so on. Okay, anyway, and he says, Mitzri gam ato osar doshri, but he says, Mitzri might be different. So keep that in mind. Mitzri might be, it might be different. But the Ramoah there, the Dark Emotion, Simon Dalad of Ibn Ezra, and Osalat, also mentions this, and he quotes the Mordechai, and he says, the question where you can apply that reason to living in Eretz Yisrael. The Radvaz, 56, and his comment on the Ramah, Malachim Perkei Alef Hazayin, the Radvaz also lived in Mitzrayim. He says that, some say that it's only if you go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, but he doesn't like that because You know, it's true that one pasuk says lo social b'derech hazeod, but you think about it, the other pasukim don't. As I looked before, our pasuk here in Parshat B'shalach and our study doesn't say dafka this way. It says lo so sifli or some od adolom. Right? We understand that that's a directive. It doesn't say only if you go this way. And the pasuk by the Melech and Shoftim also says Hashem amar lachem lo so sifli lo shod. There it doesn't. There it does say b'derech hazeod, but our pasuk doesn't. So Rav is not so convinced of that. So therefore, he says that what he suggests is that you're allowed to go for business, and if you go for business and you end up staying there, that's okay. That's okay. In other words, you went because it's too much to go back and forth and travel all the time. So he suggests maybe that you're not allowed to go with intent to live there. If you go for a reason, you know, to be there temporarily, maybe this is what Jack was saying before. You go there to be there temporarily and you're not planning to stay there so long. You end up staying there long. He said, maybe there's no love over there. And he writes about himself. Okay. And it also says, like the Rambam, Onus al Pia Malchus, a Rofel, a Melech, he was a king and the king's physician. And he says at the end of 50, he says, Gamani, Mr. Shafti Shom Zman Ruba, Lilmo Torah. I learned there and I said, Yeshiva, Chavati Shom Yeshiva. I need a rabbi, right? So, all right, I went there temporarily, but then they needed me to stay and so on. And that's Mutter. And then Vishuv Bosi Roshan, then I came back to Mitzvah. That's what Rambam writes in his commentary on the Rambam. One of his Chuvas, 57, Chelek Dalad, Simonai and Gimel. Overall, Shuva Elef Kuf Mem Hey. He writes, you know, he says with Miyad Lacherzman and so on. Again, he says along the same lines. He says maybe your intent is to go there and return. You know, he says that's one thing. Im Oka Dirosu Mishav Ishtovona. But if you pick up, you know, your family and you move there, so then you can't say that that's Daito Lach. So he's talking about something else. You know, we wouldn't have moved your family over there if you hadn't planned to stay there. That's he's talking about Yontav Sheni. He's talking about a different issue. But again, he mentioned the same issue. At the end, he adds, only there temporarily, so then it's okay. It's interesting that the more modern tshuva, the Shevet HaLevi, Shmuel Bosner, and his tshuva is Chelek Ches, Simen Samach Dalin, Chelek Ches, Simen Samach Dalin, 58, he writes, that may be different today because we have airplanes, right? You can go back and forth just because you brought your family with you doesn't mean you're planning to stay there. Look at the second to last line of 58 of Metzias Hayom. So Anashim Nosim Babiron, Afilo Hamish Hemron, even the family goes with them. It's not the same thing. Okay. Other Terutzim, the Chida and the Birkei Yosef there in Ebenezer Siman Dalad mentions the idea of Bilbul also. He says that it's not so clear. And, you know, he quotes the Rambam, says he quotes the Pri Chodosh, who says that maybe they're not the Mitzvim anymore. He's not so comfortable with that. He prefers the other answer, not to go back on a derech. In source 60, the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? On the Shulchan Aruch, as we know, the Arbaturim, the Shulchan Aruch, only presents dinim that are relevant to Halach Lamaisa today. So there's no section in the Shulchan Aruch about Karbonus or about Tumantara, other than it was needed, but nothing about Tumantara. Okay, and Tichos need this because this is a heter also. But you know, there's no, there's nothing on Kodshim and Taurus basically in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Aruch HaShulchan also has nothing about it. It's only things that are no get today. But the same author, Yechiel Michael Epstein, wrote, source 60, a sefer called the Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid, where he has a commentary in the same style as the Aruch HaShulchan on all the laws that'll be Lasid Lavo on Kodshim and Taurus and so on. So he has on Hilchos Malachim, Sman Ayin Dalad, source 60, Osiud Beis, Makushim for Semes. Same question. Alofim Yisrael, thousands of Jews have lived in Mitzrayim over the years. So he says maybe it's not the same. Not the same Mitzrayim anymore. He says it doesn't look like that from the Rambam. And don't tell me about Sancheirav because the Gemara says that Alexandria was punished. That was well after Sancheirav. And he says in the Mitzrayim may be different anyway. So what's the heter? So he says in Oz Yadalad, and you can read through it, but look, also Dalit. L'chein nira the divrei Rambam atzmo miyushav enyan. Dinei zeh shomer l'schora prakmatch mutter. Right, based on it, Yerushalmi, why is it l'schora prakmatch mutter? Why is it that you can do it for schora purposes? So again, he says because the purpose of your livelihood, you can't make a livelihood somewhere else. You'd rather not be there, then you're not in violation, and that's what the. And that's Aruch HaShulchan also, you know, in terms of defending the Rambam. I do want to mention though the Minchas Chinuch. Should have put it before. Mitzvah Tavkuf Oz Aleph doesn't buy this business about you know that it's, even if you say he was mevalvel, you know they mixed up everything. The you know Tzancheirav, it's on the land, it's not on the people. That's what his opinion is. Okay, La Olam. Look at the Minchas Chinuch 61. La Olam Aser Lader B'Mitzrayim afilim ein sham mitzriim, rakim kovash malach, unless a Jewish king conquered it. Interesting is, I mentioned Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson before, in his tshuvas, Shaul Umeshiv, Madura Tinyanach Helek Dalet Simon Kuv Zayin, he has a different approach, 62. He writes, Nir Lufiyanas Daiti, Dover Chodesh, the Be'emes HaTorah lo Oso Rak Shal Yashivu Sham Rabim, She Yasham Asham Anoshim B'nei Bedina Achas, or Shevet Achad Echad Al Kofim Yisrael. The Isser is for an entire Jewish community to go there and to establish a community there. And that fits in with the time of Sancheirav and the time of Yochanan Karech and the Bais Rishon's destruction and the community of Alexandria. That's what's not allowed. But he says, Aval Eza Anoshim Shehochul Yochul Shom Lagur, individuals go to live there. Okay, and they're not really planning to stay there and so on, and they don't establish themselves a major community. And then even if more people eventually come, there's no Isra. And he says, "In kein lo kashal Rambam, b'chol anilvim imo shukol echad echad shaboshim af shaboshim eiza noshim lo over la Isra." And the people came, a small group, a handful of people, a couple of families, they had no choice, whatever the reason they ended up going there was, that's not a problem. Okay, that's what he says. It's only Isra to establish a big community over there. Interesting is that Rav Kook, 63, Chuvas Mishpat Kohen, Sim Kuf Mem Hei, says exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. He said the Isser is to establish a big community there. That's what's Usser. I'm sorry, it's not to also for individuals. For a big community, no, you can have a Jewish community. Okay? Siburim Shleimim Shei Yisrael, Shem Shochem Yachem Mitzrayim, Ein B'zei Isser, Mamash Rakeret. It's the exact opposite. He said to establish a community, that's okay. All right? Individuals to live there, they'll be influenced, they'll be swayed, or, you know, who knows what's going to happen to the Yiddish club, a big community, that's a lot. It's interesting, you know, different shitas in the Achronim. The Tzitz Eliezer, Lazy of the Waldenberg, Chelek Yudal and his Tshuva Simon Pei Zion, Kuntres al Yeshiva Beretz Mitzrayim, Bizman Hazeh, 64. So he deals with many of the Mepharshim that we mentioned, and he says, of course, Eretz Yisrael is the choice place to live. He quotes the Kafta Referach, and that we mentioned before, and he notes that the Jewish communities have always lived there. He mentions the Rebbeinu Bachri, who says that it was only a temporary mitzvah, not knowing what his mind is there. The Rambam clearly didn't hold that way. Okay. He mentions something else in Ozvav. He quotes the Chidor, one of his farm Pesach and I'm in Yuma. I was going to quote it, but we'll take Rav Waldenberg's word for it. He says that it's based on the Arizal. The Jews were sent into Golos to gather the Nitzotzo Shel Kedusha from all the sparks of sanctity from all the different lands. And bring them back eventually, most Mashiach, right? But he says that Mitzrayim, there was nothing left. It says, Vayinatzlus Mitzrayim, they emptied everything out, Moshe and Aaron, everything. They took all the Kedusha came out already. Okay, so therefore, there's nothing, no point in going back to Mitzrayim. That's an interesting addition. Okay, another point he made, that's what I was about. Another point he makes in Oshes, very, very interesting. Okay, Chaim Kanievsky actually has an essay on this, not on this question, but on the boundaries of Eretz. What exactly are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? Where were these Jewish communities? And so it's interesting because maybe certain areas, and the Rambam himself describes it, maybe certain areas in Egypt were not considered ancient Mitzrayim. Okay, Cairo may not have been part of ancient Mitzrayim. There is an opinion that when the Torah gives the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it says it goes to Nachal Mitzrayim. What exactly is Nachal Mitzrayim? Okay, Nachal Mitzrayim, many assume is what's in the northern part of the Sinai, something called Wadi El Arish, okay, or other brooks and so on. Some say it means the Nile. Okay, that's a stretch, but means part of Egypt will halachically not be considered Mitzrayim. So that's what he writes in Oshes, that maybe where the Rambam lived, and Fosta, I think it was called, okay, the Rambam where he lived, maybe wasn't part of the, what was Al-Kahari, refers to Kahir, maybe that's not the Issa, it's not part of the prohibition. Then others mention, he alludes to it, but he's right, all of Cairo is not really part of it. Okay. He says, so that's why Dafka lived over there. Many of the Jewish communities lived over there. Alexandria was part of it and they met a bad end. But other communities in Egypt maybe weren't in the area that's technically part of Mitzrayim. And therefore we avoid this Isser. Okay. That's interesting point as well. He says it's questionable whether that should be true or not. Another, but that's what some suggest. Also, if we look now, we'll finish off. Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva. Yichav Adas Chelek Gimel Siman Pei Aleph. He was asked the following, not about Jews. By the way, he was a rabbi in Egypt too, before he became a rabbi Rashi in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avadia Yosef was in Mitzrayim also. Anyway, in tshuvas Yichav Adas Chelek Gimel Siman Pei Aleph, he was asked, L'shelos Atino Itonaim Datim, Jewish newspapermen. Okay, Jewish reporters, media people, or journalists, who wanted to go to Mitzrayim to cover various, things going on with Egypt and Eretz Yisrael and so on, and they go to Cairo, they're allowed. So again, he goes in the tshuva, And at first, one thing he says about the statement from the Rambam, you know, that the Rambam, the Kafta Raferach statement the Rambam wrote, you know, I want to be I violate three Yisurim every day. He says, Devarim Temuim Od Lo Yuman Ki Supar Ki Chalila Sharbin Haramam Yarba Lisuri Torah. It doesn't make any sense. And the truth is, some point out, I think Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Prela points out, that the Rambam doesn't count it as three Yisurim anyway. How could he sign, I violate three different laws, three different psukim? The Rambam we saw in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Mitzvah Osei Mem Vav, counts only one Isser. Anyway, he quotes various others, experts and scholars and so on, and says that the Rambam, we've never found any documents that the Rambam said that. It's questionable where that comes from. It can't be, and so on. He quotes the Radbaz. Anyway, at the end, he quotes many of the sources that we quote. At the end, he writes, Sikum, Mutar litanim Yisrael litzol Mitzrayim. It's mutar for journalists to go to Mitzrayim. The davech alamasamata l'sholem shcheinenu. This is the time when they made peace with Egypt. They want to go and make peace and so on and so forth. The report on the peace process and whatever else. And he ends by saying we should hear good news. Hashem barakas mo b'shalom. So at the end of the day, it would appear to go live there would be a problem, possibly even bizman hazeh. But to go temporarily like a journalist and so on. Again, even if to live there for a little while, Rav Adya Yosef seems to be making on that. To go for a Pesach program, okay, you could argue that maybe it's a good idea because then you can say, you know, b'chol dor v'dor chayav odom liros ezatzmo ki'ilu hu yotzom Mitzrayim. That's what somebody suggested. Why don't you, should have a Pesach program in Eretz Yisrael, then leave. Let's go the week before Pesach, then come to Eretz Yisrael. Then you can really say ki'ilu hu yotzom Mitzrayim. But okay, you know, I'm not here to criticize anybody, but if that's what someone wants to do, so you can, but that's a question. It's certainly not to go live there. But visiting perhaps would be mutter for that reason. Okay, we'll stop over here. I wish everybody a guten Shabbos, a guten Vach, and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Tavis, just